Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I told the musicians as we got ready to pray before the service tonight, seems like old times. Back to a smaller group here tonight. Thank you. God bless you. It's nice to be back together again. Unfortunately, there were three sisters that visited different ones in our church, and you know, I guess we fellowship a whole lot more than we recognize, and sometimes it might be just a good exercise to write down all that we do and all the people, because we probably aren't even aware of just how social we are. But anyway, these three sisters visited us from Tennessee, and on the 9th of June, and actually impacted six households as a result. And then we said, okay, well, of those six households, if they've had fellowship outside of the church with other families, then it affects them too. So we're pretty wiped out. So don't you guys get a complex because nobody fellowshipped with you. What happened was she tested positive for COVID. Now, we don't know. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but there's been a really big outbreak amongst the believers at Ron Peterson's church, and they've had several activities, and they just recently had some youth meetings, which, well, you know, everybody's got to do what they feel led to do. But those things often draw people from all different areas, and we need to be careful. I wouldn't tell anybody what to do or not to do, but if you're going to do something like that, you need to be extra careful, because that's how this is spread. So I understand that even some were not believing that this is real. Well, guess what? They're believers now. When it comes, it's real. So, and we don't need to, I don't need to put my hand in Jesus' side to be a believer. I want to believe without seeing. So we can spare one another a lot of grief if we just, I recognize it's an invisible invader, but, you know, faith, if we can believe for all kinds of invisible things, and this is a small thing to believe when there's even scientific evidence or proof that it exists. So so several people are being tested in the church, and the 2-week period is just about over. And to my knowledge, nobody is symptomatic here in the church. But we're not assuming anything. We're not taking any chances. If somebody gets the virus, we're going to believe and we're going to pray and all that. But we will know that it wasn't anything that we did, because we're going to, you know, God gives you wisdom for a reason. And so we want to do what we know to do. And we're trusting the Lord in all things, of course. So there are several families that are out for that. And then there's other families that are out because they attended some events up in Phoenix that those same people were involved in. There was a funeral, a memorial service, and there was a wedding reception. And there were people at the memorial service and the wedding reception that have tested positive for the virus. So, and I understand that, well, anyway. And then there was a minister and several that came out, the guy that spoke at the meetings from Tennessee, and several young people that came out from there, and some from other states as well, they took it back home. And now Brother Donnie's church is shut down right now until they get a handle on it, and everybody's being tested. And there's, well, I'll just leave it there. I know some more things, but we'll talk about it a little bit later. So anyway, here we are, and I'm glad that we're here, and I don't want anybody to be nervous. There's nothing to be nervous of. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, we just want to use common sense, which evidently is not common any longer. And if I sound like I've got a little bit of edge, I do. I have a little bit of edge because it's so frustrating to see something and say, it's right there. Come, look, it's right there. No, really, it's right there. And people look at you, no, you're crazy, I don't believe it. And I take absolutely no pleasure in saying, I told you so. None whatsoever. But I did tell you so, if you're listening tonight. So there's a whole lot more of you that are listening tonight. God bless you, and we're glad that you're listening in. We're going to just continue to press on, and we know that these are difficult times, but the Lord foresaw all this and has prepared us for it, and the truth is going to march on, and we're going to march on, and we're expecting great things in the midst of all of this. So the other thing that I wanted to say here quickly before I use up all my time is, Sister Ann, if you're listening right now, God bless you. We greet you tonight. If you're going to not listening tonight, you'll be listening a little bit later, then same greeting. I did get your letter, and I'm sorry that you're all by yourself, because you're in a care home right now in Michigan and nobody can visit you, and you're in a state that's in total lockdown. I will, by God's grace and some effort on my part, I will endeavor to return your letter, and I'm going to ask every household in the church to write you a letter to let you know that we're with you, that we're together in this, and I'm thankful that the Lord also has promised us that he'd be with us through all things. But there's things that we can do, and we sure want to show our love and appreciation for you and encourage you as you are going through this by yourself right now in Michigan. So God bless you. Let's stand tonight. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We'll read, start from the verse 6 through the 10th verse. Then we're going to read two more portions of scripture from John chapter 17 and John chapter 18. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? So Paul's saying, you know, if I'm going to talk to you, I want it to be beneficial to you. And for it to be beneficial to you, it should be a word of knowledge, it should be prophecy, it should be revelation, it should be doctrine. Those are the things that I want to speak to you. And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? So if you're going to make a sound, the sound has a purpose, but in order for that purpose to be fulfilled, the person that's listening has to be able to receive it. For if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Imagine, I know that in the Civil War era, particularly, and, you know, maybe they still use trumpets in the military, but I know in the Civil War era in particular that they would sound a trumpet and it would make a, you know, one sound would be, you know, it's time to get up. Another sound would be, it's time to eat. Another sound would be, somebody died. It was taps. Another sound would be, you know, the flag is going down. And then there's another sound, which is charge. Now, can you imagine you're lined up, you're ready to go into battle, and the guy gets on the horn, and he forgot what the sound was for charge, and so he blew something else, and everybody's looking at one another, and was that charge, was that retreat, or what was that? It'd just be a bunch of confusion. So you want it to be a certain sound. So likewise, except ye utter, so he's talking about how, they'll speak with unknown tongues, and if there is anybody to prophesy, then, you know, what's the point? He says, so likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. So it's pointless. You're just, the words are vain. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. But which one are we going to listen to? Again, John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And again from John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Then Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And the church said, amen. Amen. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? So clearly he's not hearing his voice. What is truth? Isn't that sad? What's truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. He doesn't understand him. He doesn't know what truth is. But he finds no fault. I want to title the thought here tonight for a few minutes, just a simple thought. A certain word for uncertain times. A certain word for uncertain times. And we'd like to be remembered in prayer tonight. Home or in the building, just lift your hand. Father, as we lift our hands before you, we all have needs tonight, Lord. And we're calling upon you in our time of need. We just ask, Lord, that you'd move upon every heart, every hand that's been lifted up in the building. Lord, we're trusting in you. We're resting in you. We're confident in you. Lord, some misinterpret our motives and objectives. And some accuse us of being fearful. On the contrary, we're not fearful at all. Our trust is completely in you. But we are instructed by you, and we are led by you, and we are guided by you. Lord, I have no doubt in my mind that if I was in the line of duty, and there was a rattlesnake between me and the line of duty, and if I had to go through that rattlesnake, I would not be fearful, Lord, that that rattlesnake would harm me, because I have your word on it that they'll take up serpents and deadly things, and it shall not harm them. But your word does not declare that if I go and play around with them, that I won't be harmed with them. And so, Lord, I'm not going to tempt you. I'm not going to. We're not a church, Lord, where we've got to play around with snakes to show that we're spiritual. And Lord, as some that are so out of balance would do. Likewise, Lord, with this pandemic throughout the land, we're not careless and we're not tempting you, Lord. We're doing what we know to do. And Father, I still wash my hands, pandemic or no pandemic, because I don't want to put dirt in my mouth or germs in my mouth. I'm not fearful of it, but if I go through that, I'll suffer the consequences. Of course, if sickness comes on my body, I'm going to claim my healing. I'm going to ask for your healing virtue to flow through my body, and I'm confident, Lord, that you will heal me. I'm confident of that, but why get sick to begin with when I can avoid it? So, Lord, we're thankful that you've given us wisdom to use and to navigate in these kinds of times. And, Lord, we just want to be sane and stable, middle of the road. We want to follow your leading and your guiding in all things. And, Lord, if something happens, we're following your leadership. So we're not worried, come what may. We're not concerned, but we're certainly not venturing without authority. We're certainly not following our own leading. And Lord, we're not tempting you either. So Lord, we just ask that you bless each and every one here tonight, all those that are listening. Bless our special blessing, Lord, for our sister Ann Cordova tonight. And Lord, we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. We thank you for our health, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for our continued health. And we ask these things now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So, without a shadow of a doubt, we are living in uncertain times. It's a time when people aren't sure what to believe or who to believe. And across our nation, there are those that want to silence the voice of Christ. And they want to remove his word from public discourse. There was a blind woman, it was reported, in Rhode Island that was banned from a park for 2 years for sharing Jesus with others that are in the park. A blind woman. I mean, it never in my wildest imagination did I imagine that was something like that, something so insane like that, would take place in our day. And yet you can go out and riot, you can go take over a town, and you can break down buildings and loot, and that's all, and use all kinds of profanity. You can use every coarse word, but use Christian words, talk about Jesus, that's a real threat. They want to silence the gospel, and they want to remove the police so that they can be the police. And if they don't like what you're doing, they'll beat you up. They want to remove monuments so that they can, the monuments that define who we are and define our history, good and bad, so that they can redefine our history and our culture. They want to outlaw churches, and then they want to blame the churches for all that's wrong. There's a church up in Washington, I believe, that another report came out, and there's some cases, and there was a spreading of the virus in Washington. Listen to me, in Washington. And they're blaming, the media is blaming that church for the spike in the virus while people continue to riot in the streets, while they continue to social gather, while they take over a downtown section of Seattle and ran the police out. It's that one church's fault. And they want to promote, in the place of churches, they want to promote demonstrations and rioting. And they present it as something that's good and something that's necessary. You know, we were all supposed to hunker down until some social issue came up. And then we have to get out there and demonstrate. That's more important. They want to tell us what's right. They want to tell us what's wrong. And they want to terrorize anybody that doesn't agree with them. And we also have a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic that some are in doubt about. And some are not only in doubt about it, but they're in denial of it. And when you try to speak to them and show them proof and the facts, they don't want to hear it. We have a news media that's no longer reporting news, but they are actually literally mouthpieces of various interest groups and political parties. So they're not telling us news, but they're telling us a story that they want us to believe. And we have a watered down social gospel that's being preached in nominal churches, and it's powerless and it's bloodless, and all it produces is arguing. And we have 700 versions of it, 700 plus versions of it, and not one of them can bring Jesus Christ on the scene. People are turning to self-help programs, and they've decided to define truth as they see fit. Facts are no longer important to people. And at its core, the issue is that they don't have a love of the truth, which is hard for you to imagine because you do have a love of the truth. And so they have been given over to strong delusion to believe the lie. And this day, this scripture is being fulfilled in your midst. So people are talking to each other in great numbers, in greater numbers. The whole world is connected, and the whole world is a big social community now. And we can instantly see what's going on here and there, and instantly get news, and instantly discuss topics and whatever. But what they want to hear is their own words coming out of other people's mouths. They aren't listening to learn, but they are listening to debate. Everything is a political rally. Everything is a discussion. just the very condition that Paul prophesied that the world would be in just before the coming of the Lord. This day, this scripture is being fulfilled. So Paul asks the question in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 18. He says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" That word "certain" in the dictionary, it means know for sure or established beyond doubt or question, indisputable. So there's actually a double entendre, a double meaning to the title here tonight, and also to this particular word, because it can mean certain, meaning that it's sure, that it's indisputable, or it can mean certain in the case of specific, meaning this and not that. This certain piano versus all the other pianos. This certain microphone versus all the other microphones. So the title of our message tonight has a double meaning, and we mean both of them. We have a certain word, a very specific word for our day, that is a certain word. It's sure. Amen. It's unambiguous. Oh, friends, it's indisputable. Hallelujah. It's very specific, and it's beyond doubt or question for uncertain times. What a blessed people you are tonight. I'm going to just close right there. You guys are blessed. I just want to tell you how blessed you are. You have a certain word in an uncertain time. One more thing, Sister Ann. For all the people that are whining about how bad they have it, you got it worse, so they need to quit and write you that letter. Including me. Or especially me. Every sound has a significance. Are you with me tonight? Thank you. And we know that the symbol of a trumpet in the scripture or in the Bible, it's the voice of God. It's a voice that's speaking. And that voice is actually a call to war. It's a preparation for war. When a trumpet sounds, a war begins. But when that trumpet sounds, there's a very specific word that's going to be given. There's a message that's going forth that's going to be given, because the battle is a spiritual battle. And for every spiritual battle, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits, powers, principalities from on high. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, and the weapon that we use in this battle is the word of the Lord, and not just any word. We don't just play a tape recorder of Alexander Scorby quoting scripture, but it must be a very specific word. So the trumpet sounding is a very specific, it's a certain word that's going forth, and it's a certain word that's going forth. It's certain. It will defeat the devil. It's the only thing that will defeat the devil, and it was sent to defeat the devil. And it's all that you need. So friends, we need to know that before any of these things come across our path, we've already been given a certain word. We've already been given what we need to go through, what we're going through. Satan wants to tell us, you know, we're off in a corner. We can't see the future. It's getting dark. This is happening. That's happening. We didn't see that coming, but God did. God, nothing has gotten over him, and he has given us a certain word, just as he has in every other age. He's given us a certain word for uncertain times. Now these times are not uncertain to him. He is certain. Amen? They are uncertain to us as human beings, whether we're Christians or whether we're not Christians. There's a lot of things that, you know, I didn't see this pandemic coming. Did you? There's a lot of things I didn't see coming. I didn't see President Trump becoming our president. And I never thought that I'd like a guy that doesn't live right, but he's standing for principles that I believe in, and he's not being as political as everybody else. I didn't see that coming. There's a lot of things we don't see coming. And I'm not here to discuss politics or to get into that. That isn't the point. The point is there's a lot of things that are uncertain. But one thing is certain, and that's the word of the Lord. And God has given you a certain word for the uncertain times that you face. And that gives us such a security. That gives us such a rest. It's such an encouragement in times like these. And I feel sorry for anybody else or for everybody else that doesn't have the certainty. Because without it, I'd be nervous wreck too. And without it, maybe I'd be hunting and pecking on social media, which I call Mars Hill. Anybody else got any ideas? What do you think? What do you think? It's a conspiracy. It's a this. It's a that. We've got the certain word. I don't need to go hunting and pecking in manure piles. I don't need to go sorting. I don't need to have a thinking man's filter. We've got a certain word. Amen? I don't need to go hunting and looking for truth outside of this message. I've got all I need. It's in this word. Oh, hallelujah. So a very specific word is needed for the specific battle that you're going through, and God has given it to us, a certain word, to go into battle against our spiritual enemies. So in uncertain times, we need a way to be certain of what we are doing. We need a way of being certain of where we're going. We need a way to know what is right and what is wrong. You know, even with this pandemic, I'm going to spend just a few moments on that tonight. Even with this pandemic, I've had people coming to me, well, who knows what to believe? Well, how about putting confidence in your pastor? Either your pastor is led of the Spirit or he's not. If he's not, I'd go find one that was. But I sure wouldn't go out there and listen to everybody else, because there's a way that seems right, but it leads to destruction. Well, those are natural things. I don't care if it's natural or spiritual. God gave you, He gave us gifts to help us. Oh my. You know, it's frustrating to me because my other part of my life is scientific. Right? So science comes out and makes a few blunders. Well, maybe some big blunders. Right here at the beginning, they said the sky's falling. Millions are going to die. Right? Well, that was based on what they knew at the time. China was lying. There were people that were not even epidemiologists. There was a physicist that came up with a model in England, and everybody reacted to it. And it said, 2.5 million people are going to die if you don't do such and such. But that was based on what we knew. China was lying about what had happened. So the data has gotten better and better and better. And so now we know what it is that we're facing. But people have decided, well, science was wrong, so I'm going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. What's frustrating, and we have healthcare representatives in the building, you're seeing it firsthand. It is what it is. Well, let's see, how'd the hospitals start getting full? How did 70 people get stacked in refrigerated trucks in New York because there was no place to bury them? Because this is just, after all, just the flu. Friends, I'm expressing my frustration again. Excuse me. It's so obvious that this is real for certain ones. Well, it isn't for us, and it's just a small number. Well, that's easy for you to say because you're not one of those small numbers. Or maybe you are, right? But any number is important. And the way people die with this is awful. When they go into ICU, half of them don't come out. And a number of them, they'll intubate them, they'll put them on these machines, and they'll be on it for a month and die. And the people that are taking care of them, it just tears their hearts out. Because they know that half the people are going to take care of, they're going to die. So, why anybody be flippant about that? Let me just ask you a question. How many of you know somebody that died of the flu? Okay, one. One person. How many of you know of people that have died of COVID in the last 2 months? I just asked you how many died of the flu in your lifetime. One hand went up. 2 months. We all know people that have died of this.
Right.
And it ain't over. I'll just tell you this. You can come back to this message this time next year, right? If there isn't a vaccine, by this time next year, 1 million people will be dead here in the U.S. We're at 120,000 in less than 2 months, or a little over 2 months. And this thing's going to keep coming around and around and around and around. They talk about a herd immunity. First of all, the term herd immunity is meaningless without a vaccine. It's meaningless. You only use that word if you're using a vaccine. Because with a vaccine, you know that that person is going to develop an immunity, and then they're not going to pass it on. And so with the flu, they say, well, you know, the flu isn't too bad. We have so many inoculations. If we didn't, there'd be a lot more people dying of the flu. But we have no inoculation for this. We're hoping to get one, right? But this is a different kind of virus. This is an RNA-type virus versus a DNA-type virus, and I could go through a whole scientific explanation of the difference. We've never developed a vaccine for an RNA-type virus. Never. So if we develop one, if we succeed on this, it'll be a first. Secondly, it's mutating. What does that mean? It's what flu does every year. You develop an immunity, and then it changes. Guess what? You need a new vaccine, right? Well, this is already mutating, and they haven't even come up with a vaccine. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to tell you it's reality.
That's right.
It's real, and it's preventable. It's preventable. So it's much, much more, it's many times more infectious than the flu. And with the flu, if somebody's sneezing, runny nose, they got a fever, well, it's obvious, don't shake their hand, right? Invite them not to come to church. But with this, 30% of the population will never have a symptom, right?
Yeah.
So it's silent. 1.4%, this is in my notes, I'm just... 1.4%, the mortality rate, the infection mortality rate today, based on what we know, based on fact, is 1.4%. So what that means is 1.4% of everybody that gets this is going to die. And it'll be a miserable death, right? Unless something's developed, unless something changes. So the argument that you hear, let's go back to this herd immunity, which is not, so let's just call it population immunity, as if we could achieve that. In order to achieve this population immunity, 60% of the population has to be exposed to it. Okay? We have 325 million people in America, right? So 60% of that is, I forget what it is, but it's a big number. Okay, thank you. I could probably around 180 million, right? So 1.4% of that is about 2.5 million, right? So in order for us, this is what I want you to hear, because this is a fact. If we do nothing and we just develop this herd immunity where 60% of us get it, 2.5 million people are going to die. Is that an acceptable number to anybody? Not to me. But that's what will happen unless something changes. It will happen. It will. Unless we protect those that are vulnerable amongst us, it's inevitable. This is not conspiracy theory. So you're an idiot if you don't protect those. And if you won't do it for yourself, do it. That's the whole point. Well, it isn't going to, it's 1.4%. That's not too much. Well, 2.5 million people is a lot of people. Well, it's just like the flu. No, it's 10 times more deadly. So right now, 110,000 people have died in 2 months. That's twice or three times as many as died over the whole flu season last year. And we're only 2 months into it. Okay, I'm done. It's real. We're not afraid of it. We're not a bunch of idiots either.
Right.
Every sound has a significance. I just made a couple. So the answer to these uncertain times is a certain word, right? Not I think, or I believe, or I hope, or it seems to me, conspiracy this, conspiracy that. Why do people even listen to conspiracy theory? You see, conspiracy theory is not based on facts. You can't prove any of it, right? And yet we have a certain word. Why would I spend my time with fables and myths and conspiracy and flat earthers when I've got a certain word? So we've been given the certain word of God in this day. And we must not take that for granted. We are totally equipped. We are totally ready to face whatever comes our way. Right now is a testing time. Because everybody has claimed up to this point, I believe the message. Now we're finding out what message it is that you believe. This message is our strength. This word is our protection. This word is our rest. This word is our hope. This word supplies everything that we have need of. Amen. It is certain. But who will believe our report? Well, I'll tell you who. To whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. To those that it's revealed to, they will receive it. So God always has watchmen in every age, and he uses these watchmen to sound the trumpet. Now, it's not their message, but it's their job. It's their job to sound the trumpet. It's the message is the Lord's, and they're not lords over anybody. They're just saying, hey, like I'm doing tonight, wake up! God always has a watchman in every age, or watchmen in every age, and he uses them to sound the trumpet when the enemy is coming against the camp. We read about it in Ezekiel in chapter 33, verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of the people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, if he blows the trumpet, so he sees the sword coming, the enemy's going to come into the land. He sees that ahead of time. He's standing up there on the wall. He sees him coming. He blows the trumpet. If the people of the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, if the COVID comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He was warned. Took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Listen to this. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So the watchmen are going to give an account for what they've done, for what they've said. Some of us are set up as watchmen of the Lord. Some of us, he has set us up to do that. And if you have been set up as a watchman, you will know it. Whether others know it or not, it's not an elected office. It's not something that comes by democratic vote. You're either called to do it or you aren't. And most of the time, you don't want the job. But you'll do it. And you'll do it with everything that's in you. Whether other people know that you're a watchman or not. And that's why it just burns at you to say, look, it's there. I'm sounding the trumpet. There it is. So you'll blow the gospel trumpet. And it will make a certain sound if it's the gospel. And those that have ears to hear the gospel trumpet
They will follow after it. Others will say, I don't understand, and it's just noise, and get rid of that thing, and leave me alone, and whatever. But if you have an ear to hear, it's a certain sound to you, and you will respond, and you will follow. But it's up to us to make sure we sound that gospel trumpet. Hallelujah. So they will heed the call, and they will make their preparations as a result. Those that sell out and fail to sound forth the trumpet, particularly in this hour, they're going to have the blood of the people on their hands. We can't water this down. We can't make this soft or gentle, worrying about upsetting people's feelings. Friends, just accept it. You're going to get some hurt feelings along the way. But your feelings are not, they're not something that we should bow to. They're not something that's, your feelings aren't truth. Your feelings are feelings. Now, all of us don't want to intentionally hurt other people's feelings. But it's unavoidable that our feelings will get hurt. Because our feelings don't always line up with the Word of God. So I'm thankful tonight, Brother Berlin, that we have a certain sound in this hour. And that we can be certain of God. We're not wondering if we're following cunningly devised fables. We're not wondering, is this true? Well, I'm going to follow this message until something else gets cooked up. So because of that, because we're sure, we're not going to follow conspiracy theories. And we're not going to search for truth in the garbage cans of religion. Or the Mars Hills of social media. And we won't stay home and say, I have the message, and so I have need of nothing else. Brother Branham's my pastor. If you truly believe his report, you will do what he said to do, because it's the very same thing that Paul and the rest of the apostles said to do in the beginning. We've been facing that too. It's very rare that I'll post something on social media, but I posted something that's taking a stand, telling people, wear that mask, and if you don't, it's because you don't love other people. You don't think I petted a few people backwards? Do it for other people. Well, you wouldn't believe all the religious spirits that I had to deal with. Religious spirits, people in the message. One brother post a quote from Brother Branham. I love these quotologists. And it's somebody that doesn't believe in the fivefold ministry, believes that, you know, Brother Branham's our pastor. And there's times that you just got to lay it out. There's times that you just got to use that sword. You're not trying to hurt anybody, but you just got to use the sword, right? As a watchman. So I posted that, and I get this cute little quote that Jeffersonville and a bunch of other tapeworm people are putting out right now and are using to defend their wrong way of doing things. And in that quote, Brother Branham is talking about how, they said, well, there's disease come, there's this come. Well, we'll just wear a mask and we'll be safe, and we'll just go under. You can see where this is going. We'll just put on a mask and we'll be safe. We'll just hide under the ground and we'll be safe. And he says, they'll find out that won't save you, right? So you know how that's being interpreted by people that don't have a pastor? The way that's being interpreted is, that mask ain't going to save you. And besides, we're not afraid of it. It can't touch our church, right? We're message. We're bride. So therefore, it can't touch our church. I'm not sure how the flu got in our church. Colds, backaches. I don't know why people are wearing glasses.
That's right.
I don't know why there's high blood pressure. I don't know why people are dying. But this one can't touch us because we're bride. And so we're not supposed to wear a mask. You're stupid. And you need to listen to the watchman that God has given you. And I'm responsible to let it sound. And your blood's not going to be on my head. So I responded. I responded and I said, Brother, first of all, that is a complete misapplication of Brother Branham's quote. And I went back. I looked at where he pulled it out. Brother Branham's talking about the death angel passing through the land. Right? And without the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, that death angel ain't going to pass by. He said, you might say, well, I'll wear a mask if the disease comes by, or a plague, or I'll hide under. He says, but there's one thing that's required, and that's that blood. And without that blood, you're not going to make it. So I made it very clear. And I said, I totally agree with that quote, but you just totally, I said, what you're doing is you got a cow eating green grass on top of a black cow eating green grass on top of a tree.
Yeah.
Because that quote had nothing to do with this.
Right.
And yet everybody that I know that's content with tape only is trying to use those kind of quotes right now. So this watchman called it out. So I get a private message. Well, I didn't say that it had to do with anything like that. I didn't say that it was... I wasn't trying to say anything on this whole discussion of whether we should wear masks or not. It's just a coincidence that I put that there. And why are you talking about a... How did you turn this into a fivefold ministry discussion? So I went down and further on, I said, thank God that there are God-called men that are trained, that have been prepared, that God has placed to rightly divide the word so that we don't make these dumb misapplications of quotes. The devil's just laughing his head off. That quote, really? That's the best you can come up with, really? So when he told me that, I thought, well, I'll just take you at your word, no matter what I might think. All I got is your word. So, I apologize if I said, all I can tell you is I've been tossed that quote about, this several times here lately, having to do with mass. I said, so if you say your quote didn't have anything to do with that, okay. And I wanted to ask him, so what was your point? But I knew that I wouldn't get an answer, so I just left it alone. I wasn't trying to be contentious. But I said, Brother Branham made some powerful statements there and powerful points. I said, if you don't have that blood, if you don't have that token life, you're lost. If you don't have it, I don't care whether you're, I don't care what it is, right? Without that life, the death angel's going to get you. Well, hallelujah. I probably won't have any friends left here pretty soon, but that's all right. I'm just tired of all this nonsense. It's time to be serious. This is very serious. Maybe that's why it's happening, Brother Augie. We ought to be as serious about this virus. We ought to be as serious about the gospel as we are about this virus. We ought to be serious about all of this, knowing that we have a sure word, we have the way out. Well, that sounds exclusive. Well, I'm sorry, but it is. We're not putting anybody out. We want everybody in. But there's only one way, and that's His way. So when Brother Branham built the church in Jeffersonville, there were scriptures that the Lord gave him that he placed in the cornerstone of the building, and they're found in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and Brother Branham refers to it a few times throughout his ministry, and we're going to read that here tonight. I'll just tell you, in case I don't get there in time, we're going to tell you what Brother Branham said, what Paul said, and what Peter said, all towards the end of their ministry, in all focusing on the very same thing. Verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. He's telling Timothy, don't hold back. Preach it. And the people said,
amen.
Preach the word. Be instant in season. That means be ready to go. And if the word is in season, be ready to go with it. Be instant in season, out of season. So whether whether people are ready to receive it, whether it seems like it's in season or out of season, be ready. Preach it.
Right.
Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, and we've been speaking about this lust and how it's of the flesh, After their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers. They're choosing the teachers. Having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned over unto fables. Let me read this to you, the third verse, once again from the Amplified Bible, the third and fourth verse. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction. But having itching ears that are itching for something pleasing and gratifying. So it's for the senses, it's for the intellect, not the soul. Something, you know, wow, let me hear about these blood moons. There's no point to it. It's all intellectual. It's not sound doctrine. Having itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold. Wow. Sounds like the internet to me. And they will turn aside from hearing the truth. Okay, let me show you what the facts are. So I did that. I laid it all out. Laid all the facts out. And then I got, well, we're not saying that it isn't there, but we're just saying that there really isn't anything to it. Well, what's the difference? In other words, I just presented all the facts and you're not going to accept them. They're facts. We'll turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Conspiracy theories. Let me read from what John Gill had to say. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He says, the gospel, which contains the wholesome words of Christ and is sound itself, having no corruption in it, and salutary, I had to look that word up, it means health-giving. Health-giving in its effects to the souls of men. And yet such is the depravity of some men, both in principles and practice, that they cannot receive it, nor bear to hear it, turn their backs on it, express their indignation at it, and treat it not only with neglect, but with ridicule and contempt. So when I presented these facts, that's what I got, was ridicule and contempt. Because we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Science was wrong about their model, so we don't believe anything about them. But we will believe things that are not based on facts. We will believe things that are based on feelings. You know, because after all, what's the name of that guy from Microsoft? Bill Gates. Bill Gates is doing this. Because he's actually trying to control the population of the world. And he's got a microchip. And this vaccine's being developed because you're going to get this microchip. You're not going to know it. But everybody's going to have to get this vaccine. And this microchip is going to get injected in you. And they're going to track you. And that's the mark of the beast. Idiots. We've been told what the mark of the beast is. It's to reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I might repent of that later, but I'm not repenting right now. That's stupid. People in our ranks believe in such tommy rot. Let's say for a moment that that's true. What are you going to do about it? What's that have to do with you? Does the Bible say you're going to get injected with that a vaccine's going to kill you? Notice this. They're afraid of the vaccine, but not the virus. Look, how stupid is that? Oh, and that there's a bunch of guys in smoke-filled rooms smoking cigars that dreamed all this up. Yeah. Yeah, we destroyed the best economy in the world Even if there is something to all that, who cares? Second of all, you have no evidence, no facts, none. That stuff will drive you nuts. That'll just lead you to doubt, doubt, doubt. You won't believe anything. We've got a sure word tonight, Brother Juan, and I believe it. Whether I understand it or not, I believe it. And it's wholesome. There's no corruption in it. And there's no conspiracy theory either. Aren't you glad? Oh, but that's so seductive, because, you know, the other part of that is, wow, you know something other people don't know. You're on the inside. Well, I already know things that other people don't know. The mystery of God has been revealed to me. I already know. And I'm trying to tell people. They don't believe me, but I'm trying to tell them anyway. But if you miss that, then you got to go cook something up, right? If you miss the simplicity of this, then you need to go cook something up. We'll get to more to that here in just a moment. Well, help us, Lord. He goes on to say, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. He says, not being content with the ministry of one man only. This guy, John Gill, back in the 1700s, and he's saying, not being content with the ministry of one man only. He's not talking about me. He's talking about our messenger. The ministry of one man only. We have one message. If we'd had two men, we would have had two messages. We have one message. And I'm sorry, but somebody didn't come along after that and polish it up and continue on. We still have one message. And, Augie, we're content with that. Not being content with the ministry of one man only, or of a few, though of their own sort, but must follow many and have heaps of them. Which seems to express not only the number of false teachers which they will accumulate to themselves, but the confused and indiscreet choice that they make of them. And that after their own lusts, choosing to hear such as either indulge them in their sinful lusts and pleasure, or are agreeable to their private corruption, corrupt sentiments, in opposition to the generally received doctrine of the faith. In other words, they're teaching things that are off the word that you want to hear. It is a blessing, he says, to have pastors and teachers after God's heart, who preach according to the word of God. These feed men with knowledge and understanding. Then he quotes Jeremiah 3:15, but it is a curse upon the people when they are left to choose teachers after their heart's lusts. But that's what people are doing. Oh, I don't want to hear that, so I'll go find somebody that'll say what I want to hear. Listen to this. Having itching ears. Always desirous of new things. Blood moons. Well, we're going to wear that puppy out, aren't we? Always desirous of new things, as the Athenians of old, or loving to have their ears scratched and tickled with smooth things that are pleasing and agreeable to the natural man, and carnal minds, as the purity of human nature, the power of man's free will, the excellency of his righteousness, and the merit of his works, and the like. See Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10. Now this being the case, should not discourage, but rather animate the ministers of the gospel to preach it. I like that. Thank you, John Gill, for writing something a couple hundred years ago to me. You had no idea that the Lord was moving on you to write that to encourage me. He says, this being the case, it should not discourage, but rather animate the ministers of the gospel to preach it, Brother Andy. For should they desist, in all likelihood, the gospel would soon be gone. Oh, friends, we should be so glad we still have gospel preachers. If we had no gospel preachers, the gospel would be gone. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth He says the solid truths of the gospel, not being able to bear the hearing of them, and shall be turned unto fables. He says things that are idle, things that are trifling, things that are useless and unprofitable, and which are no better than old wives' fables. Some respect may be had either to Jewish fables or to the miraculous mythologies of the Gentiles or of the Gnostics and others, but in general, it includes everything that is vain, empty, and senseless. And this is to be considered as a just judgment upon them, that since they like not to retain the knowledge of the truth, but turn away their ears from it, God gives them up to a reprobate mind. Listen to this. A mind that is void of sense and judgment. That's why you can't get it through to certain people. You should still try and try and try. But some people will not receive it because they've already been given over to a strong delusion. So they have a mind, a reprobate mind, and a reprobate mind is a mind that's void of sense and judgment. To attend to things that are idle and fabulous. Help us, Lord. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Now, there's been people that, you know, the laity, they want to tell you what to do. We've got a problem with Nicolaitanism where the ministry is conquering the laity, but the bigger problem these days is the laity trying to conquer the ministry. So they'll come to you, well, you can't do evangelism and be a pastor. Or you can't be an evangelist. Or excuse me, you can't be a pastor and do apostolic work, which is missionary work. He was told, do the work of an evangelist. He said, now, I'm not an evangelist. I'm told to do the work of an evangelist. He was a prophet. How many knows that? He said, I didn't make a very good pastor. He was a prophet. So he did the work of an evangelist until. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, Paul says. So he's... This is at the end of his ministry. And he's telling us, you know, there's people that aren't going to listen to sound judgment. And I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Thank you, Brother Paul. We're resting on that. Yes. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He had a certain word that declared that to him. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And he's prophesying now. You're at the time of his appearing. And I'm looking at people that love his appearing. A crown is laid up for you also. You believe that? Let me read here real quick. Titus, what was said to Titus in chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. He's talking about what a pastor is supposed to do. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. So, Brother Augie, I'm doing this tonight because of what Paul told Titus and any other pastor to do. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So that would be the Jews. So in other words, religious people. Whose mouths must be stopped. Must be. Because they will subvert whole houses. Teaching things which they ought not. And doing it for money's sake, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, well, you know what? The Cretans, they're always liars. They're evil beasts and slow bellies, as if God's a respecter of persons, as if God can't save the Cretans, as if being a Jew is better than being a Cretan. He says, they say this witness is true. He says, wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Tell them, knock that off. That's a lie. That they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. Isn't this what? Turning themselves, having itching ears, they want to hear fables. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. And commandments of men. And commandments of men that turn away from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. So you don't have to preach the law to those that are pure. Because all things are pure. Listen to this. But unto them that are defiled and are unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. When I read this, I don't know how many times I've read it, but it's spiritual food in due season. When I read this, it just shook me to the core. Because what that tells me is they're not capable of clean thoughts. And yet we still expect clean thoughts to come out of them. And they do too. Verse 16. They profess that they know God. So they claim to be believers. But in works, in other words, their actions, they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. How do you really feel about this? Come on, you're amongst friends. You just come on. Don't hold back here. Now let's read what the messenger had to say about 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the Church Age series. Can we do that? Thank you. Smyrna Church Age. We were just referring to that here a few weeks ago. If you think that that is an exaggeration, read of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the first five verses of the fourth chapter. And then he goes and reads what we just read, those first five verses. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, so on and so forth. So we'll just go ahead and skip down to where it's 126-4, the next paragraphs. Thank you. When the church allowed herself to move away from the original, like Adam and Eve, death set in. There is no strength in her. She has become a monstrosity. The minute the church moved towards form and ceremony and toward priesthood by organizing the ministers into a group that decided leadership apart from the Holy Spirit and His Word, that very moment, death entered in and she started to get sick. And as she got sick, she changed to a powerless group of people whose only weapon was argument. Wow. History's repeating itself. So what does that tell you? If they are a powerless group whose only weapon is argument, it tells you death has set in. It tells you they've left the Word of God and have put their word over the Word of God. She could produce nothing in the Spirit, for her hopes were built on program and not on faith in His Word. Oh, they sowed program, so they reap program. They sowed perversion, so they reap perverted children. Come on, Brother Bram. Come on. Tell us what you really mean. You tamper with God and you reap exactly what you injected. Man ought to learn that from nature. Speaking of tampering with nature, this virus came out of a lab. Did you know that? He's tampered with nature. He's injected his own ideas into nature and rearranged the molecules. And now he's reaping a whirlwind. Just look how they have bred the chicken. It's so highly bred that it's a laying machine that lays itself out. It's no good for food, and it's soft and it's poor eating. I went to Peru, near Lake Titicaca, down by
I think it's Pusco. I get confused. I went to Puno and I went to Pusco, but I think it's Pusco that I was at. And I was outside of town, you know, looking up at the Andes Mountains, and I went and stayed at the pastor's house, and this was in November, so it was summer, so it was quite warm. It was like 30 or 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's normally a lot colder than that in the winter. And they had llama skin blankets, and they had llamas out in the yard, and they had chickens running around, and the bed was a bunch of ropes that were tied between some wood. So you laid on that, and then you had these llama skin blankets over you. Well, they killed one of those chickens, and we had that for dinner, and it was the toughest thing I ever ate in my life. It was also the most delicious. It was a revelation. I guess I'd never had chicken before in my life. It was so tough that it doesn't just come off the bone. You have to scrape it with your teeth to get it off the bone because it's attached to the bone. It's not flabby and soft, as Brother Brown just described. You had to scrape it off. Wow, did it have flavor. Just like wild turkey. If anybody ever tasted wild turkey, man, it is good. What we get at the store, that ain't turkey. That's a monstrosity. This was delicious, but it was so tough, Brother Henry, that I'm pulling on it, and I finally get it off, and it goes snap. But it was good. It was really, really good. But what we've done is we've hybrid our chickens. And it's just a mess. Just a bunch of soft, you know. I mean, a lot of chicken don't have any flavor. And the church said, if you want to have real Kentucky Fried Chicken, you got to go to Trinidad or some other place where they actually use chickens. And you'll say, oh, man, this is good stuff. Yeah, it starts with the chicken. It ain't the 11 spices and herbs. It's the chicken that's important. I don't know what this is that we're eating here, but just look at how they bred the chicken. It's so highly bred that it's a laying machine. It lays itself out. It's no good for food, and it's soft, and it's poor eating. He grew up on chickens that ran around. They inject substances in the meat we eat, and because of that, the human body is changing so that the women are getting narrower in the hips and broader in the shoulder. Well, that's why women have had to have so many cesareans in our day. And men are getting just the opposite. It's hormones. That is a fact. We're taking in hormones that they've injected into the animals, and it affects us. You know what? Another thing that I found was interesting, actually it's kind of scary, but it's interesting too, is that the wastewater treatment plant, they can test, they know whether there's been a spike in coronavirus because they can test that stuff. You wonder what else they're doing, you know, but I'm glad it's not my job. Now, if you fool with nature and get a monstrosity and a backfire, what will happen if you change the truth into a lie? That's simple, right? One word caused the death of the whole human race. One word, the full word, will cause a resurrection. Now, if you fool with nature and you get a monstrosity and a backfire, what will happen if you change the truth into a lie? The answer is you will breed an antichrist. A godless system of religion that is so perverted, it will not look like or produce what the original did. Thank God for the original. Amen. The only answer that God has for a situation like that is the lake of fire. So this was spoken concerning a dying church that was becoming bitter. And again, Brother Branham refers to this very same scripture in the Laodicean church age. So if you'll bear with me for a moment. He says, a second thought that must be impressed on our heart is that the seven church ages started out with the Antichrist spirit as well as the Holy Spirit, who is to be blessed forevermore. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out of the world. He said, did you notice it?
The Antichrist spirit is identified with false prophets. The ages came in with false prophets, and they will go out with false prophets. Now, of course, there is going to be a real false prophet. He's talking about the one that's incarnate here on the earth after we go up, the man of sin. In a grand sense of that man mentioned in Revelation, but as of now, before his revelation, there are to appear many false prophets. Now, it doesn't mean that they're a prophet, but they're proclaiming God's word and they're lying. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 26, Jesus said, If any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, or false anointed ones, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. So the anointing is not false, the man is false. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in secret chambers, believe it not. Don't go running around. These false prophets are earmarked for us in various other scriptures, such as follows, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among us, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now he refers to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. I won't keep you much longer. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, right? So we've read this. I'm just going to skip over it. He goes back to verse 1. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I had someone that came and said, the pastor, we're leaving the church. Why? Because the rapture is going to occur in September, October, and you don't believe that, but we do. So we got to go. Well, where are you going, Smithsonian? Why? Because we want to see it before the rapture. But before I go, I know you have a gift in your life, so would you tell me if there's anything at all you see in my life, would you tell me? I don't know why people ask me that. And I says, well, brother, you got a seducing spirit on you. And that seducing spirit is trying to pull you out of church. And is trying to pull you away with this idiocy of blood moons, which we have no quote for. In fact, brother, if you want a quote for blood moons, Brother Brown says, the blood is in the bride and she's the moon. She's the blood moon. Yeah. She's the one that's shining in the darkness. He says, giving heed to seducing spirits. We're living in that time when people are going to do it. And I'm seeing it happen time and time and time. It kills me. It kills me because I can see that spirit on the person. And that person will look me right in the eye and they think they're superior to me. They look down their nose on me just like the Baptists used to. Because that's the kind of a spirit it is. Well, I've risen above you, Pastor. And I said, well, you know, when the rapture doesn't happen, you know, whatever the date was, October 30th or whatever. Let's just say it was October 30th. I don't remember what it was. Doesn't matter. I said, you know, on November 1st, when it doesn't happen, you can come back. Well, that never happened. But, you know, got to run for our lives. Because pastor, you know. Do you realize people send me email, letters, and I save it all? One day I might publish it. I've got streams and streams of best thing I ever heard and never heard anything better. And where have you been? And this is where I'm supposed to be. And God led me here until he didn't.
And I want to, you know, I think about that sometimes. I think about, you know what, you preach to yourself. I'm just going to send you these emails and, you know, see how you feel about it. Because you're either wrong here or you're wrong all those times. That'd be easier to repent of being wrong once than wrong 50 times, wouldn't it? That's a seducing spirit. It's not logical. It's not reasonable. And it's frustrating. Can I just share that with you tonight? Because you guys aren't pastors. I am, and I'm not complaining about it. But it's frustrating. It must be like being a doctor and telling your patient to take whatever, and your patient just, okay. And then they don't do it. Well, that's how I feel. Because I know what's needed, but if you don't take it, it won't do you any good. But it won't be because I didn't tell you. God help us. We need one another, don't we? Okay, before I get carried away here. Doesn't it sound like somebody's coming in? It's just, you know, the wood just all shifts and always sounds like a door coming open. Maybe it's air. I think our new air system brings in outside air. Maybe, yeah. Didn't mean to distract you. Maybe I just got your attention. I don't know. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times, that's today, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils sound good, but they're just doctrines of devils. They just didn't come from the Word. Now, in every case, you will notice that a false prophet is one who is outside the Word. Just as we showed you that Antichrist means anti-Word. So these false prophets come perverting the Word, giving it a meaning that fits their own devilish ends. Listen to this. Now, I want you to listen closely, okay? Listen closely. Have you ever noticed how people who lead others astray bind them closely to themselves by fear? You stay with me or you're lost. They say that if people don't do what they say, or if they leave, destruction will follow. Devil. That's a devil. I'm not calling any human being a devil. That's a devil. That's an antichrist spirit. That's not Christ. Christ is not, he's not treating his wife that way. I tell you what, you do one thing and you're out. That's not his bride. Amen. And the people said, amen. Aren't you glad it's in the message? Amen. Just identifies it. There's no, he didn't, well, you know, just preach it. It is what it is. You know, the only person that it hurts is the devil. They say that if people don't do what they say, or if they leave, then destruction will follow them. They are false prophets. For a true prophet will always, listen to what a true prophet will do. And Brother Brown said, preachers, New Testament preachers are prophets. Yes. Because they're foretelling the word of the Lord. Will always lead one to the word and bind the people to Jesus Christ. What a concept. Bind the people to Jesus Christ. Marry them. Unite them. Bind them to Jesus Christ. And he won't tell the people to fear him or what he says, but to fear the word, what the word says. And that's why we can all be in agreement, because we're all listening to the same voice. And you can check out everything that's being said and it's being put on the screen. It's the same word. We're believing the same thing. Notice how these people like Judas are out for money. They get you to sell all you have and give it to them in their schemes. Does that sound familiar? Wink, wink, nod, nod. They spend more time on offerings than the word. Wouldn't even take an offering. Those who attempt to operate gifts will use a gift which has a margin of error in it, and they'll ask for money and neglect the word and call it of God.
listen to this, and people will go to them and bear with them. I feel sorry for them because they're sincere. They'll go with them, they'll bear with them, they'll support them, they'll believe them, not knowing it's the way of death. But if you're a child of God, he'll bring you out of that. Yes, the land is full of carnal impersonators. In that last day, they will try to imitate that prophet messenger. The seven sons of Sceva tried to imitate Paul. Simon the sorcerer tried to imitate Peter. Their impersonations will be carnal. They won't be able to produce what that prophet produces. When he says that the revival is over, they'll go around claiming a great revelation that what the people have is exactly right and God's going to do a bigger and more wonderful thing amongst them. Can you say seven thunders? I'm not afraid to say that. That's what that is. Oh, we got the revival, and it's because it's new, and we got something that you don't have. Well, why didn't it produce anything? And the people will fall for it. These same false prophets will claim that the messenger of the last day is not a theologian, so he ought not to be heard. They won't be able to produce what the messenger can. They won't be vindicated by God as the last day prophet is. But with their great swelling words and with the weight of their worldwide notoriety, they'll warn people not to hear that man, that messenger, and they will say that he teaches wrong. They are running exactly true to their fathers, the Pharisees, who were of the devil, for they claimed that both John and Jesus taught error. So it has to repeat. He says, now, why do these false prophets come against the true prophet and discredit his teaching? Because they are running true to form, as did their forefathers, when in the days of Ahab, they stood with Micaiah. There were 400 of them, they withstood Micaiah. There were 400 of them, and all of them were in agreement. And by them all saying the same thing, they fooled the people. But one prophet, just one, was right. And all the rest were wrong. Because God had committed the revelation to one only. And we still believe it tonight, don't we, Brother Manuel? Amen. Beware of false prophets, for they are ravening wolves. Then he finishes it up with this. If you're still in any doubt about this, ask God by his Spirit to fill you and lead you. Look at the confidence that he had. I have the same confidence tonight. His confidence was, let go and let God. And if you do that, he won't mislead you. I'm not worried. If you'll just surrender and give yourself over to him, you'll see what I'm telling you is true. If you still have any doubt about this, ask God by his Spirit to fill you and lead you, for the very elect can't be fooled. Did you get that? There isn't any man that could fool you. Paul could not fool any elect had he been wrong. And in that first Ephesian age, the elect there could not be fooled, for they tried the false apostles and prophets and found them to be liars and put them out. Hallelujah. His sheep hear his voice and they will follow him. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. So quickly now, I'm in overtime. We've also been looking at what Peter said in 2 Peter shortly before he left the scene. And we'd like to look at another portion of it here for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We've went through the other scriptures. He says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. I love this, Brother Juan. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. In other words, I'm not bringing you something new. And I don't have to, because you don't have itching ears. I'm going to tell you what I told you over and over and over. And guess what? I don't care if it's the first time you've heard it, the second or the 50th time. It'll still stimulate you. It'll still feed you. It'll still excite you, because it's a certain sound. It's a certain word for uncertain times. And it causes you to be certain. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Remember, Paul said the same thing when he was dealing with the same kind of a thing, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I know I'm leaving. I'm going to have to put off this tabernacle. So I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to stir up your remembrance. I'm going to tell you what I've already told you. I don't have anything new. I'm going to tell you what I already told you. Paul also spoke similar words at the end of, he said when he'd run his race. And verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Well, they must be pretty important. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Isn't that what Paul was saying? Don't go after that nonsense. And we're not. Paul said, I've run my race. I've fought a good fight. There's a crown that's waiting for me. I have nothing to worry about. I've brought sound doctrine. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Recall that in 2 Peter, starting in the beginning of chapter 1, he goes through the virtues. He goes through how Christ is going to build his church. He goes through, because what took place in Matthew 16 has stuck with him all the way through his ministry. It's been a kind of a cornerstone of his ministry. Matthew 17 starts with, after 6 days, they go up onto a mountain high, and the Lord is transformed, transfigured. He's talking about it right here. He just talked about Matthew 16. Now he's into Matthew 17 again. He said, for he received from God the Father the honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, what a wonderful thing. He says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. Hearing that voice from heaven while standing on the mountain. But, listen, this is his closing message. He's given his last exhortation to the church. I was so privileged and I was so blessed and I saw that and it was wonderful and I was tremendous and we heard that voice. But, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. That was a tremendous experience, but we now have a more sure word of prophecy. And that's what he's reminding us of. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We've got the brightest light there is. I don't care what's hiding in the corner. It can't stay there. That light will expose it. Nothing to be afraid of, friends. Don't be afraid. When there's light, there's nothing to be afraid of, is there? It's darkness that causes fear. We are in the light. We're walking in the light. We're children of the light. We have a more sure word. We have a more sure word. We have a certain word for uncertain times. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until that day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Glory to God. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. He's warning them just as he's passing out the scene. If somebody says, I think, you just say to them, you stink. I don't care what you think, because I don't care what I think. I never figured this out. I couldn't. Well, you'll remember that. It may sound kind of crude, but you'll remember that. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. not a bunch of people on the internet and Facebook, well, I think. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's telling them, look, you've got a sure word. You've got a perfect word. You have got, I keep forgetting that word, a certain word for uncertain times. And finally, we'll finish with this. Brother Branham referred to 2 Timothy chapter 4 one more time in the seventh seal message towards the end of his time on the earth. Paul did it. Peter did it, referring to the same subject. Brother Branham's doing it now. When I was a little boy, I loved people. I always wanted somebody to love me and to talk to me. Nobody would do it because of the name of my family. Nobody would talk to me. But when I made surrender to God, then our people, background being Irish, I thought maybe, well, they was all Catholic. Maybe that would be it. I went there and he was some way, and I went down to the First Baptist Church and he was another way. So there was a Jesus that was this way and then a Jesus that was that way. And I said, Lord, there's got to be some way that's true. And something said, it's the Word. Amen. Something said, it's the Word. And I've held that Word. He's at the end of his race. I've held that Word. Look at every vision everywhere. The day that I laid the cornerstone yonder and I put in there and I wrote on there what he showed me that morning in a vision, be instant in season, out of season, rebuking with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap for themselves together teachers having itching ears and be turned away from the truth into fables. I've seen those two trees that I stood by. Remember, he had one this tree over here and three this over there, and he was trying to get fruit from both sides. And he says, I've seen those two trees there that I stood by do that very same thing. That's right. And there we are. And that's true. He says, and now remember, let me exhort you again, just as Peter did, just as Paul did, just as our last messenger did. Let me exhort you again. Don't say thank you to anybody at all. Don't say, thinking some minister or something, some mortal man, that there's anything good about him. Because there's not. I don't care who he is. There's nothing good to any man. That's right. If there's a whole bunch of trumpets laying here, and one of them had to sound out a certain music, it's the man. Them trumpets are perfectly mute. It's the fella that can sound the trumpet, that knows what he's going to do, that picks up the trumpet. The trumpet has nothing to do with it. And we're the trumpet. The trumpet has nothing to do with it. The sound comes from the intelligence that's behind it. So all the trumpets are all the same. All men are all the same. All Christians are all the same. There's no great man among us. We're not great men. We're not great women. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all in the same bracket. We're no great. One don't make one greater than the other one. Not a thing at all to do. No, sir. But we're just all human beings. Don't try to interpret things. Peter said the word's not of any private interpretation. Paul said that they heap to themselves teachers. They want another interpretation. Don't try to interpret the things. Don't try to do anything more than just live a close life. In other words, walk with him. Isn't it wonderful that he didn't put a burden on me? Well, you're going to have to do this, that, and the other. No, just walk with him. Just live a close life, giving praise and honor to Jesus Christ. Seventh seal. Everybody understand that now? No. Amen. Love him with all your heart. Do you do it? Oh my. Here's how it started. I'm pulling over in 2 minutes. Here's how it started. Genesis 6:12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. This is how it's ending. All flesh is corrupting his way upon the earth. Every man's doing what seems right. History is repeating. But here's what Paul said, and here's what we're endeavoring to do, and here's what we're going to have to answer for, and here's what we pray to God that we're faithful to. He said in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Let's stand. A certain word for uncertain times. God loves you so much. He's not willing that any should perish. But not everybody wants the truth. It's sad because you want them to have it. And you want to say, look, it's right here. But if there's no appetite for it, take them as far as they can go. Don't kick them into the curb because they don't have a love of the truth like you do. But realize you're blessed to just have that desire. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're blessed to just, they that hunger and thirst, you're blessed just to have that thirst. You're blessed to have the thirst, and then you're double blessed because you're promised that that thirst will be satisfied. It really wouldn't be blessed to have a thirst if it wasn't satisfied. It'd be better to not have the thirst, right? But you're blessed because you have the thirst and the promise that you will be satisfied. How many can say he satisfies tonight? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Forgive the cut up, chopped up message here tonight, friends, but I know my place, whether anybody else does or not. And I got to scream it out that we're at the end. I don't know how much longer we have. We might have 30 more years. I don't know. But it sure seems like things are wrapping up. There sure seems to be an urgency. There sure seems to be an urgency on the outside to go the other direction. Satan is hitting us. He's, oh, friends, it's frantic and it's drastic and mean-spirited. I mean, the facade is coming off. Oh, we love everybody. No, you just want power. And you're going to get it. Power is going to be given to the beast. The scripture declares it. And I'm not afraid of it. And I'm not trying to stop it. And I'm not worried about it. But at the same time, if that's going on there, what's happening here? What is God doing amongst us? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Musicians, please come up. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Okay. It's all right. Hallelujah. Blessed be the...